Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Carrie Nolan, filling in for Allison Stewart. She'll be back on Monday. Thanks so much for spending part of your day with us. Coming up a little later on the show, we'll have lunch and a cocktail or two. We're heading down to coastal Georgia to speak with chef and farmer Matthew Rayford about his new cookbook called Bressignam, Gullah Geechee Recipes from a Sixth Generation Farmer. And you can find a recipe for Gullah rice. That's posted on our website. And later, we'll get some great ideas for summer cocktails from Food and Wine Magazine's Mary Frances Heck. And we'll take your calls. That's all on the way. And we're really glad you're here. Comedian Tig Notaro is known for her unique storytelling and deadpan delivery. She takes her time thoughtfully relating personal stories, some oddly funny, like her many fateful encounters with singer Taylor Dane, some more serious, as when she told an audience 9 years ago that she had just been diagnosed with cancer. In many of her stories, Tig lets herself follow tangents, even to dead ends sometimes. She might appear to lose the thread, but she doesn't seem in a big rush to get it back. But in her latest special, titled Drawn, Tig opts for a more animated approach. That is, she becomes a cartoon. Drawn has been described as one of the first ever fully animated stand-up specials. It combines audio of Tig's characteristic delivery and storytelling with different styles of animation, from two-dimensional characters to claymation to Pixar-style CGI. The special was a collaboration with Six Point Harness, the Oscar-winning animation studio behind the short film Hair Love. Now, while you can't see the animation on the radio, you can at least hear Tig. Here's a clip from a story about her friend, comedian Jenny Slate.
We had each other's numbers, and she texted me and said, "Hey, I'm moving to LA. Do you want to have tea?" And I said, "I'm not feeling very well. I've been in bed. I should probably be better in a couple of days. Let's get in touch then." Jenny said, "Feel better." She texted me in a couple of days. "How you feeling, Tig? Wanna have tea?" "Jenny, turns out I have pneumonia now. I can't have tea, but when I'm feeling better, absolutely, we'll grab tea." Jenny texts me, "How you feeling?" "Oh my gosh, Jenny, I'm in the hospital. I have developed a disease that's eating my digestive tract. Can't have tea." And she was like, "Oh my God." And she said, "I'm going to Boston to get married this weekend. I will check back in with you when I'm back." And I'm like, "Okay, well, congrats." I mean, I wasn't even invited to her wedding, you know.
Drawn comes out on HBO tomorrow, and I'm delighted to welcome Tig Notaro back to All of It. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So where did this idea to animate yourself come from?
Well, I've been animated before over the years. Different websites and TV shows have animated my jokes and stories. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not new for stand-up to be animated. There's
right.
been plenty of that over the years. But I had spoken to Greg Franklin, who directed the special, over a decade ago. I was a fan of some of the stand-up he had animated, and he was going to animate my stuff. However, I didn't have a studio or network backing me, so I would have had to pay out of pocket. So he just moved away from the idea, and then we reconnected all these years later when I had this material that was about 4 years old, and I still wanted to release it, but I wanted to do more than just release it as an album.
So why did you want to work with Greg Franklin specifically?
Well, I had seen his work with other comedians, Jackie Cation and Kyle Kinane. He just did really great work that I had seen him contribute to other comedians' material, and I just thought, oh, I I really like how this guy sees things and adds stuff to people's jokes. And so, yeah, he just stuck out to me.
You know, sometimes the imagery is in this stand-up special is just an animated version of you on a real stage. You're the only part that's the cartoon. Other times the whole scene will be animated, and it includes cartoon characters and images that, you know, are more in your dreams than in real life, like the Kool-Aid Man driving a car. So how did you work with the animators to decide what it was that you wanted to see on screen?
Well, I came to them with particular jokes and stories that I wanted to be in the special. Mm-hmm. And then it was really a matter of handing my material over to Greg and the artists and trusting their visions. And what I really trusted and liked was that they weren't going to be overdoing it, that it was just going to enhance and elevate what I had already written and performed.
Right.
And so there were only a few moments in the special when I would see things and I would give notes and say, oh, what about this joke? What if we added this in the animation that they applied? But it was majority was all them.
That's. I was going to ask you about that, about how much input you actually had to say, well, I'd like to see this particular joke as a Pixar themed, you know, thing.
Yeah, I definitely had the ability and opportunity to do that. It's just that Greg and the artists know that world so well, and they, well, Greg, I think, specifically had ideas of what type of art would work best with the different jokes and stories. And I was really happy with what we landed on, ultimately.
When you watch this back, does it feel a little strange knowing where all the different pieces came from and then, you know, kind of remembering them in their original context?
I kind of don't even really remember them. And you mean the original context, meaning
yeah,
real life, or
yeah?
Oh, I see. I just kind of don't think about that too much because it went from real life to jokes and stories on stage to animation. So I feel like I'm so far down the road that now, especially with it being animated, it's allowing me to enjoy my material as an audience member because I'm watching somebody else's art elevate my art.
That's really interesting that having that distance allows you to sort of mm-hmm. participate in the enjoyment of your own art.
Yeah, I was really amused by it because certainly as a comedian, you can get tired of jokes and stories that you're telling because, you know, there's different comedians do things differently, obviously, and some say something once and never repeat it. But a lot of comedians tell jokes and stories and repeat it for a year or more, and mm-hmm. you can kind of tire of it. And so it was a real pleasure to be presented with my material again and to be amused by other people's work.
That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
This is the first special you've released since the pandemic, but, you know, you arranged for it and sold it before the pandemic started. Has the last year and a half changed the meaning of the special for you in any way?
I mean, I would say the only thing is that I'm even more thankful that I had the opportunity to make this because when I sold it, I had no idea. Nobody had any idea what was to come.
Of course.
And it was oddly the perfect medium for this time period. And,
oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, go out and tape a special that was going to be really something that excited me. And this really excited me over the past year and a half that we've been working on it. And I'm excited for it to come out.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Tig Notaro, whose new special, Drawn, an animated special, is out on HBO tomorrow. Let's talk a little bit about your writing during this time. Was it harder to find some inspiration, or did you find that your writing came fairly organically?
When you say this time, do you mean right now?
The pandemic.
During the pandemic. I don't really write in the way that some comedians do. I'll typically just write down a brief note or a word or something to trigger my memory so that when I'm on stage again, I'll remember what mm-hmm. that was, hopefully. And work it out. I work out all of my material on stage in front of the audience. So
right.
I don't sit down and write anything. But so I haven't performed yet.
Oh, okay.
I haven't done any stand-up. I still only just have notes.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's circle back to your to the special. In one of the stories, you've gotten your wisdom teeth out, and you drive yourself home from the hospital, and you end up driving into somebody's bumper. And you say you didn't cause any damage, but in the animation, the bumper falls off the other car, and you just peel out. So let's hear the clip.
I got out to my car, started it up, drove off, and I was awoken when I rear-ended a car in front of me. It wasn't really bad. It was just, I think I just fell asleep at a light, and my foot slid off the brake, and then I just rolled into the car in front of me. And the guy jumped out of his car and was beating on my window, like, "What is your problem?" And I was like, "I'm sorry. Sorry about that." There was no damage, everything was fine. And so I continued on. And when I finally got home, I was in so much pain that I needed to get back to the hospital.
Were there points in the special, Tig, where, you know, when you watch it, where the jokes read a little bit differently because of the animation than you had originally envisioned?
I would say specifically with that particular story, there's a reveal that I don't want to reveal on this show that we weren't quite sure how to tell the story, because when I do my wisdom tooth story in person, live on stage, I can reveal the big moment at the end when I want. But the problem with animation is, and it's hard to explain if you haven't seen the story, but the big reveal would potentially be visible through the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really fascinating to see how Greg and the artist decided how to keep that under wraps. And I think it's so incredible.
Another interesting point I noticed was that the audience is also animated, and there are a lot of moments when the focus is on specific audience members, some of them based on voices from the real audience, and some are just, you know, imaginary people that may have been at one of your stand-ups. How did you think about what you could do with the audience in a special like this?
Well, I mean, it was really important to me to have a fully animated audience, because a lot of my shows are interactive, and I will connect with the audience or ask them a question or talk to somebody directly. Not always, but I really wanted that element to, you know, doing this fully animated special. I wanted to go back to the animated version of me on stage, mm-hmm. and also connecting with those animated audience members. And so it was again, again, so much credit to Greg and the animators, how they decided to do all of this. I just basically said that the audience was very important to me, and there are layers of jokes and characters that are throughout the special, and I didn't have a direct hand in that other than saying I really want them in there.
Did you have any thoughts about, like, say, animated shows that, you know, from your childhood, that was there any kind of a feeling that you wanted to impart in any of the particular sketches or scenes in this special?
Nothing in particular. I think that I was very into cartoons when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved Speed Racer and Rocky and Bullwinkle and a bunch of other shows, but I also for years, decades, have not really been around the animation world until
sure.
I had kids 5 years ago. And
right.
so now I'm all in. I'm back in. All, if they're not watching baseball, they're watching their cartoons. And so it kind of made me realize how I don't know all that's out there in the animated
there's a lot out there.
World. There's so much out there. So I really wanted to leave it to Six Point Harness to bring the options that they thought would be cool.
One of the stories you tell, you start out by talking about the Kool-Aid Man, speaking of animated characters, and how long he needs to wait on the other side of walls just to smash through at the right time. Why did you start with the Kool-Aid Man?
I started with the Kool-Aid Man just because there's so much personal there's heavier topics and more personal stories, and I just thought that beginning with a more observational, just silly story mm-hmm. would be or silly observation would be a nice way to get into things, and I always liked that thought about the Kool-Aid Man, how we all just accept that he would kick down walls, but
yes,
I never
of course.
Really thought about the fact that many had to be on the other side of that wall or in a neighbor's yard. And it always kind of amused me, so I just wanted to include it, and I thought it would be a great addition, especially since the Kool-Aid Man was oftentimes animated, and it just seemed like a fun, lighthearted way to get into the show.
Tig Notaro's new animated special, Drawn, premieres tomorrow on HBO. Tig, this has been such a pleasure for me. I'm so happy that you were able to come on the show and talk to us about it. Everyone should go and just watch this thing tomorrow when it comes out. It's really lovely.
Well, thank you.
And thank
I
you
really
for being here.
I really appreciate you having me. Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. This is all of it.